Sue, thanks for leading. That was great. And it was wonderful to have you at YWAM last week. We've had some internal meetings as a staff and as a community that was really rich. And Sue was a big part of that. So it was really great and great segue into what I'm talking about today, because you talked about stillness and you had that beautiful moment of stillness at the beginning. And then Richard, you talked about simpleness, which my message is going to be simple, so that's perfect. But you also talked about the mountain where we run, and we're going to have some passages that talk about running to the mountain. So couldn't have been a better segue. And as you might have known, if you've been with us the last few weeks, Trevor spoke about the ascension. And I could really relate to what Trevor was saying as he was describing growing up with a Baptist background and upbringing, because I had that as well. And he's absolutely right. We don't often focus on the ascension in the Baptist ecosystem. And really, when you think about it, if you don't think and focus on the ascension, if it's just Jesus rising from the dead and us going to heaven, it's really just a fire insurance policy. It's the watered down faith. It says nothing really about what God has empowered us to do, or the co-laboring aspect of what he's called us to do while we're here on earth. And I think I really resonated with that, because my whole upbringing in the Baptist church was about this fire insurance policy of making sure you go to heaven. And when you spoke to somebody, the lead-in was, do you know where you're going when you die? That was the hook. And so I really appreciated this this emphasis Trevor has brought on the ascension. So as Sue mentioned, we're going to be talking about continuing the study of Jesus and talking about prayer. And this is a weighty, vast topic that I don't pretend to bring a lot of conclusions to. You could spend days or weeks on this. But it is something that I hope I can offer a few insights to, a few morsels to chew on as we go about the week. And I have a number of passages to begin with, but I'd like to, just from the onset, talk about, I'm going to be using the Passion Translation. And some of you may really love the Passion Translation. We all have our favorite translation. And the reason I'm doing this, I know Chloe's very much an advocate for the Amplified Bible. The reason I'm doing this is because I find when sometimes I read a different translation, I will read scripture almost as if it's new to me. Like there'll be something, for instance, in the Passion Translation that I read and I think, wow, I've never read that verse before, and it's so powerful. And then I look up the same verse in a translation I'm familiar with, and I'm like, oh, it's that verse. And I appreciate that, because I get to see it with a new perspective. I get to see it with a new lens, and it resonates in a powerful way with me again, where oftentimes I can find my mind skipping and not being still with the word and not chewing on every piece, every word of that verse or that scripture, because I know it so well. I'm like, yeah, I know that verse. So it causes me to pause and think a little bit more. And I hope that's what using the Passion Translation will do for us. So we're going to be looking at a few specific verses of Jesus's time on earth when he prayed. And Luke and Mark primarily are where we find examples of that. But no doubt there are many more times that he had retreated or escaped away from the crowds to spend time with his father. And we're just seeing small examples of that. But Jesus is said to have often withdrew, is how Luke put it. So we know it was many more times than the examples we're going to look at today. But instead of just hearing me read through all the verses, I want a little bit of audience participation. So I need about 7 people to volunteer. And if you could just read the verse, I'm going to have it on the screen. If you could read it for me, could you just put your name in the chat room and then I'll call on you? So I'll give you a few seconds to do that. Luis, could you share that first verse, please?
Yes, thanks, John. So Mark 6:46. So he dispersed the crowd and said goodbye to his disciples, then slipped away to pray on the mountain. And that was after feeding the 5,000.
Terrific. Thank you. And Chris, could you share John 6:16?
So Jesus, knowing that they were about to take him and make him their king by force, quickly left and went up to the mountainside to be alone.
Yeah, terrific. And after that was after feeding the 5,000 as well, just a different account of that. And Mark 1:35, could you do that, Mark? Mark Edison, are you there?
There we go. The next morning, Jesus got up long before daylight, left the house while it was still dark, and made his way to a secluded place to give himself to prayer after healing many in Capernaum.
Fantastic. And next, Jamie, could you do that one, please?
After this miracle, the news about Jesus spread ever further. Massive crowds continually gathered to hear him speak and to be healed from their illnesses. But Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. And this was after healing the man with leprosy.
Super. Sheila, could you do the next one?
After leaving the synagogue, Jesus went into the high hills the whole night in prayer to God. At daybreak, he called together all of his followers and selected 12 from among them and appointed them to be his apostles. And that was before choosing the 12.
Great. And 2 more people. Could someone just start reading that one?
One time, Jesus was praying in a quiet place with his disciples nearby. He went to them and asked, "Who do people think I am?"
Yeah, and that was Jesus prophesied about his death and vets the disciples' understanding of who he was. And then lastly, Luke 9:28.
8 days later, Jesus took Peter, Jacob, and John and climbed a high mountain to pray. And that was the transfiguration.
Terrific. All right. Thanks, guys. So basically what I'm reminded of, and I'll quit sharing the screen. Give me 1 second. So what I'm reminded of is that Jesus retreated to ministry when ministry was successful, but also when he was in distress or about to make big decisions for his time on earth or his ministry. And I love that we can see a wide spectrum of times when he retreated to pray. It wasn't just when he was in distress, but it was right after a high of ministry when he needed to make important decisions. And we know it was a lifestyle for him where he gained perspective and where he gained strength. And how often when things are going well, I know it's true for me, we lay aside deep and intimate times with the Lord where we wait on him, where we're still before him and quiet, where we dig in his word. And if I'm honest, it's when things are going well for me, when I'm busy with work or even busy with ministry, with life, that I fail to go away and pray. And we see Jesus doing just that. Luke 5:15 says, after this miracle, news about Jesus spread further. So at this time, his ministry is just proliferating. He is getting wide acclaim. People are coming from near and far to hear this man, Jesus, but he slipped away to pray. And However, typically, if you're like me, again, it's when things are going well, when I'm faced with some serious medical news, or if a loved one I have is suffering, or if the finances are tight, or if I'm needing direction, that is when I'm nudged to pray. And this plays out so often in my life. I've taken retreats for prayer and stillness, and those have always been rich, where I've gone away for a day or two and waited on God. But I'm compelled to do that and to fast and pray, but it's hardly ever motivated because things are going well in my life. And here's a question I'm pondering. Did Jesus go away to pray because successful ministry drained him? Was it because he fed the 5,000 and it was so taxing and draining on his life that he felt he had to go away to become filled again by the Father? Was that it? Or maybe it could have been that he knew, like we so often experience in our own lives, that we're tempted just after a high in life, as we are in the lows of life. Or just after that goal is reached, or after the milestone you really think would make you happy, didn't quite do it. Have you guys all been there where you think, man, this is a high and I'm so excited, but the crash comes right afterwards? I've had that many times. And I wonder if Jesus, in all his wisdom, knew just after this high of ministry, I need to get away to retreat and spend time with the Father and get perspective. You know, we know that the enemy tempted Jesus, and we know he tempted him specifically in the wilderness, and he gave them these opportunities to take the power that was promised him in the moment. So I think if the enemy tempted him, he knew that Jesus could fall. He was human. He was a man. He was just as tempted as we are. And I think he knew that. And so, you know, it was wise of Jesus to get away and pray after those times of success. And in Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane that we'll look at soon, hopefully, if we have time today, he orders his friends to watch and pray. And I wonder, again, how much after successful events in our lives, we're naive to the schemes of the enemy, unlike Jesus, who retreated in times of distress, but also after times of success. Now, we've just come out of a pandemic, and getting away anywhere at times is a bit of a challenge. And it's exciting to hear, Richard, that you say guests are welcome, because as everyone is racing to find anywhere to stay, you might get a lot of takers on that offer. But we're a challenge to get away now, especially with the pandemic. And now after things have lightened up a little bit, everywhere is booked up and it seems you can't get away. But probably now more than at any time, more than we realize, getting away from the noise for a day retreat to celebrate a success and offer it to God, or to seek direction, or to commit someone to prayer is needed. I imagine Jesus' life with his disciples day in and day out, mentoring them, discipling them, walking with them, eating with them, sleeping with them. There were times that were a little too close for comfort for him, not unlike maybe lockdown was for us. I know personally with three kids, sometimes family life was a little too close for comfort for me, and I just wanted to get away. Perhaps it's not people. If you don't have a spouse or kids at home, which I know there's some of us in the community that are like that, perhaps getting away for you means getting away from your daily responsibilities. Perhaps it's putting a pause on the worries of the day or the pressures of the day that you face regularly, to put a pause on that, to set them aside and spend some time in intimacy with the Father, just enjoying him. Think about it. If the Son of God, the one who experienced unique intimacy with the Father, who was always in oneness with the Father, needed to go on retreat, needed to spend the night or the entire day in prayer with the Father, then don't you and I need to do the same? And how can we expect to negotiate the challenges before us and the opportunities in our lives if we don't back away every now and then so as to take a time of rest, reflection, and most of all, prayer? So I have a question now that things are opening up a bit more. What is stopping you? It doesn't have to be a night away, as I spoke about. Maybe it's a friend's garden. Maybe it's a very long walk alone. Maybe it is an overnight silent retreat somewhere. I know I'm desperate to do that for a night or two or three or four or more. Questions I have for you is, when is the last time you experienced refreshing times of retreat in your life? What keeps you from taking the time you need to retreat? And what helps you to make that time? Perhaps an exercise or two that might be helpful when you get alone is to ask Holy Spirit what he would want for you in that time. What is his goal for your prayer time? What more would he desire for you in this area of your life? Perhaps he wants you to listen more. Perhaps he wishes for you to learn to be more still. Perhaps he wants to remind you of things he's spoken to you already. And Pat Kinahan and myself and some other YWAMers are in a prophetic online school right now, or seminar right now. And we've really been stretched in our prayer times and our prophetic understanding. And he had us do an exercise this last week that was a stretch for me, but I found profoundly impactful, because, and maybe some of you have done this already, but he had us look around the room for an object, and he had us just see what jumped out at us, what captured our attention, and then to take that object and then to ask the Father, how do you want to speak through this object? It could be, how, Father, do you want to speak to me through this object? Or it could be, how, Father, do you want to reveal yourself through this object? Or how do you want to speak to somebody else through this object? And I was quite amazed at how much he gave me through this little Liberty Bell. It was a little small statue of a Liberty Bell, and how much he gave me out of that simple exercise. And so maybe for you, it's taking the time today or on a walk and asking God, what do you want to say to me through this tree or through something else you encounter? So that's what I have. I have some more on the Garden of Gethsemane to go in specifically, but maybe I'll just take one thing that I was really struck by. You guys are familiar with the story and familiar with the Garden of the Gethsemane. Maybe you're not. I learned something new, because again, in my Baptist upbringing, faithfully reading the New International Version, I always read it as the Garden of Gethsemane, never reading it as the oil press, as some translations describe it. And I love that, because as we know, the pressure on Christ squeezed every ounce of tears and blood from him, figuratively speaking, and literally speaking in some ways, as he wrestled about the journey ahead of him that he was to take. And I was amazed about the moment when the angel came to him and ministered to him. But I found it intriguing that it's, in my perspective, even after that, he still was wrestling. The angel came and ministered to him, and yet he still wrestled, and he needed to go back in prayer. And it was intriguing and fascinating to me that he'd go back to the disciples three times. And I had this question, why did he go back to the disciples? Was he looking for encouragement? Was he wanting to say, as if to say to them, did you get something from the Father that you can encourage me with? Why was it so important for him, who was one with the Father, to hear encouragement from his friends and to have them praying for him as well? And it challenged me. It made me realize the importance of prayer when someone says, will you pray with me? And someone asks, will you lift this up? Will you see if you get any words of encouragement from me? What a challenge. And how the disciples must have felt, knowing only later in the time of Jesus's greatest need, when really the fulcrum of history hinged on, when the entire history hinged on this moment of time, when the battle that he won in the garden would lead to the battle he would later win on the cross. And had he fallen or fell in the garden in that battle, then the battle on the cross would not have been won. And that important time in history, maybe the greatest time in history, his friends that he walked with for 3 years had failed him. And it makes me think about the times when friends fail me, or the times when when I have felt not as esteemed as I feel like I should have been, or not as given credit for something that I should have been, or if I've been overlooked for something, and how petty that can be. But even Jesus, in his moment of greatest need, his friends had failed him. So again, the challenge for me is that that of prayer, to pray for my friends, to lift them up when I ask for prayer, and also for those times of retreat, as I spoke about before, for my own life, for my family's life, and for my friend's life. So that is all I have this morning.
Thank you, John. That's very rich. And actually, I think I'm probably going to want to go